right. So Bruno Mars, there's a story that's been circulating this weekend about how much Bruno Mars is in debt to MGM Grand. Mm-hmm. And we know when he was younger, he likes to play poker. He likes to play.
He tried to make a living being a professional
poker player.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. Nothing but a poker player.
Well, and I mean, he's a kid who's 5 years old impersonating Elvis.
Yeah.
You know, up on stage. Bruno is versatile.
Very.
At a young age.
And his shows are amazing.
Yeah.
So apparently they're saying right now he has extended his deal with MGM Grand. He has been in sort of light residency there, but hasn't toured since like 2018.
Right. Why would you when you can be in residency in Vegas?
That and he makes $90 million a year from MGM Grand. And basically that's $1.5 million per show.
Apparently he loves to gamble at Bellagio. At the Bellagio.
And he opened a new restaurant there.
At the Bellagio?
Yes.
Maybe
it's
that's
called,
why he's been there a lot.
It's called the Pinky Ring.
Yeah.
And the MGM owns Bellagio. They're all the same company.
Right.
But they're saying he's like $50 million in debt.
Between 50 and 70.
I you know what? I don't believe that. And I'll tell you why I don't believe that.
They won't let him.
No, it isn't that. It isn't that. But if it's coming from inside the palace, like coming from MGM, they know better than to ever have
it's really not.
Numbers.
It's coming from like...
what's the... Because it's like been a
really,
couple blind items.
Yeah, it hasn't been really... what's the name of it? The news service. It's from News Nation.
Yeah, News Nation's
that very
and
sketchy.
Then
that's a good made up.
Yeah.
News Nation is a but TMZ did do an article today saying that Bruno Mars does not have a $50 million.
Right.
MGM has come out to say, I mean, this was through TMZ.
I bet that Bruno gives himself a line of credit that would make most people just absolutely drop their jaw. That might as well be $50 million.
100%.
But he just kind of has something and he likes playing and it's one of the things that, you know, rich people can decide to do. You know, but you got to be super careful with the gambling, like anything like that.
Yeah.
It can get out of hand. And I bet it would be very easy to just say,
if you
I want another,
there,
and you perform there, I'd like another million and a line of credit if you were delusional at the
craft
table.
I've asked you for money.
Yes, you have, Julia.
Because I don't
have one to walk away.
And I have no cash card, which is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I would only bring out a certain amount of cash. I've asked you, I asked David, I've asked other people.
I can
people.
Tell by how you're doing whether or not I'll be giving you a $100 bill.
It's $100. We're not talking big, big money.
But I can tell if you're not like feeling it and I can feel that you're not feeling it.
I feel it.
I just say you're going to thank me tomorrow that I didn't give you a honey tonight.
I know it. Okay, so Jon Bon Jovi's Hulu documentary is called Thank You, Good Night, and it's about him and his band, and it comes out April 26th.
Is Richie Sambora participating
in this?
I'm going
to tell you what they describe about his participation.
If it doesn't have Richie, then it's just really a Bon Jovi
Both
thing.
Jon Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora, I bet separately, are both in the Hulu upcoming docuseries,
okay, so
Thank You, Good Night to Jen. Mm-hmm. And ahead of the docuseries premiere in April, the singer is giving us insight to his relationship. And I remember this day very well, where you're sitting here, and for some reason, there was Bon Jovi was playing in Calgary, Canada, and Richie Sambora did not show up. And this is when Heather Locklear, his ex-wife, was going through all of her drug and rehab stuff,
but
and their daughter,
like,
Ava.
I know, but I feel like Jon Bon Jovi let us know that that was Richie drinking.
Here's
that
what it
night.
Says. Here's what it says. He says, we're not in contact anymore with Richie and I because he's not in the organization any longer. Doesn't mean
the organization.
Doesn't mean there's not love forever, but it's 11 years ago and he just didn't show up anymore. There were emotional issues that he was dealing with as a single dad, and there were substance abuse issues that, you know, Phil X, the person who came in, had to show up one time, and then Phil X had to show up another time, and then again, and there's a show that night.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Yeah, right.
So basically,
he's got a point.
He's got a point.
Got
so
a point.
This is...
The point is, I'm going to wait for your review, and I am not going to watch this unless you like think it's... I don't know. It doesn't feel compelling to me.
Well, let me tell you why you might be interested.
Right.
He had vocal cord surgery.
No.
A thyroplasty.
No.
And he apparently was such a good singer. As a singer, he once sang with Pavarotti. He is a singer. He says, I'm not just a BS singer. I'm a singer. And he studied the craft for 40 years. Is none of this working?
None of this.
And I'm going to tell you about my affair with that woman up in Bemidji, Minnesota.
Yeah, that's the thing I want to know about.
Yeah. You know,
that was always his thing, you know, that he had a few different girlfriends stashed around the country, including one in
Bemidji or somewhere up there. Lake Country.
Brainerd, Lake Country.
So here's what he says, though, because he had this thyroplasty 2 years ago, and he said, when my ability to sing was taken away, I couldn't understand why, because jokingly he says the only thing that's ever been up my nose is my finger. He grew up in the cocaine years, you know. He was
out during those cocaine years. That he never did cocaine, but he did get married very young to Dorothea.
Very
I feel like they were high school sweethearts.
He's going to be singing at the Jimmy Buffett thing at the Hollywood Bowl on April 11th or something, or 22nd, somewhere.
I'm going to save all my appetite.
You don't like any of that. No. Are you going to wait for Celine Dion? Because she sent us a note yesterday, too.
Well, I know that I have nothing but the most intense of good karma and wishes for our songbird. No, the thing that I will look forward to seeing music-wise will be Timothée Chalamet, you know, is playing Bob Dylan in a movie. He's playing 1960s era Bob Dylan. James Mangold, No Direction Home. Called The Complete Unknown. That's the name, but from that song. And it's about, and remember, he went up to Hibbing High School in January, Timothée.
Yes.
Well, do we have our first sneak peek of him?
Do we have audio on this thing? Is it something we can play?
But it's filming, remember, in New York, where he's like walking in what looks like Soho, Bob Dylan, that album cover, and he's carrying the guitar case, and he's got a cap on, like a newsboy cap.
Yeah, I see.
And is Joan Baez the woman who's walking right over his shoulder? It's the cover of that album. Anyway, this is the photo. Elle Fanning is playing Sylvie Russo, which was a love interest of young Bob Dylan, and Monica Barbaro is Joan Baez, and Hal Holbrook is Johnny Cash.
So did I.
And Nick Offerman is some folk musician, and Edward Norton is Pete Seeger.
Did you know the story that Daisy Jones and the Six cast revealed that Bob Dylan visited
their
recording studio when they were recording?
No.
Recording. It's a new word. It's when you use the recorder and recordering. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, no.
It was insane. He had a tour bus outside of Sound City.
Stopping by. Well, this film will just be about when Dylan went from folk music to rock and roll.
Okay.
Did the thing at Newport. Did he unplug or plug? I can't remember. He did acoustic or unplugged his guitar. He did something. Caused outrage. That's what I hear.
It was the beginning.
That's what I hear.
It was like, and there was, you could hear a Rolling Stone.
But anyway, I think Timothée looks a lot.
I think
like
he does
him.
Too.
He's got the retro jacket, the big guitar case, and he's got the hair.
Yeah, the face.
He has the
skinny
hair.
Face,
he's got skinny face and the hair. Yeah, I think so too.
Think about all the different ways they've tried to tell Bob Dylan movie. Cate Blanchett played Bob Dylan for crying out loud.
Remember that?
Really?
Yes.
She did.
She played Bob Dylan. And certain movie critics told us that we needed to watch it. And we were just, I don't know that people responded. I know we didn't.
How many Bob Dylan movies have been made? Bob?
There's been, and you know, I don't know, but there hasn't ever really been like a biopic, and because James Mangold
at least 28 movies.
Yeah. And James Mangold, because he did Walk the Line about a specific time and place in Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash's life, you know, was successful storytelling. Because that was a great movie.
Lori, The Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, there's been so many.
I'm Not There.
That's the Cate Blanchett.
Yep, Hard
I'm Not
to
There.
Handle.
Mm-hmm. So they've tried and tried and tried.
Bob Dylan, Don't Look Back, 65 Revisited.
Getting a 27-year-old to play 27-year-old Bob is a start. And a person who can sing and physically resembles them, we're off to a running start. And the director has already done this before with another iconic actor. So I'm feeling real good.
Who
about
again?
This.
Who did he do?
Walk the line, Johnny Cash.
We love that. Johnny Cash. We love that. All right, it is. We are into the dirt alert. Let's take a quick break.
Anyway, it's posted for your pleasure.
Thank you. It's Lori and Julia here for Chan Essen Dinner Theaters, and we've been singing the praises of beautiful The Carol King musical for a while now because, honestly,
this opened.
We loved it, and we know you will too. Don't take our word for it. Here's what Rowan Preston said from the Star Tribune. It's absolutely fantastic. Ross Rayla, the Pioneer Press, said it's amazing. Carol King wrote the soundtrack to our lives. She started writing songs at age 16, then marries Jerry. They wrote lyrics together, and they wrote for the big recording artists of the day, the Drifters, the Shirelles, the Righteous Brothers.
It's a story you didn't know you needed to know, and you know all the music. And it was someone I know that saw it on Broadway said it's better than the Broadway production. What Kat and
Michael
and Michael Brindisi have done with this production of Beautiful is incredible.
You guys, you have to get your tickets. You don't want to miss this. Visit ChanHessenDT.com for tickets. Chan Essen Dinner Theater, always entertaining you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Bradley Traynor.
And I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
All right, Grant, what kind of dirty dirt do you have for us today?
Well, we're going to have a little fun with our guy Lenny Kravitz. I don't know if you had a chance to see the beautiful picture that he posted of himself.
On Insta?
On Insta, steaming, shirtless, with abs like a washboard.
Reminds me of myself.
I think I heard myself looking at that this morning.
Well, you're not alone there. Channing Tatum, his soon-to-be son-in-law, went to Instagram to give him a little love. He says he made a comment to the picture, said,
oh, my Lord, yeah.
Jesus nice Christmas, lit Lenny. WTF, you're going to hurt someone on this platform. And a lot of people also said in response to his comment, this was funny, he said, here's the thing, we want him to hurt us.
Yeah, you know? I know. Like, please poke out our eye, Lenny.
So it's quite...
He's got ripple upon ripple.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is, and I love that he set this photo to the fifth dimensions, Aquarius.
Oh.
There's a moon, a season, an Aquarius, yes. And the moon. Very good. I love that.
Yeah. Even Kelly Rowland wrote, and just like that, I'm headed to the gym.
Oh. And he's got a really great new partnership with Ray-Ban. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see that he's partnered with Ray-Ban because they
need help. They have had the same glasses for so long.
But that's okay. That's all right. Everyone should have a pair of cool aviator glasses that are mirrored or whatever. Right. I mean, use Lenny because that's a price point. I don't know. I think it's a smart partnership. Mm-hmm. And he's modeling some metallic aviators. The mirror is metallic, as is the frame.
I like that.
Look. You know, you can do these aviators in different colors. Yep. It's so good, you guys.
Yeah, I agree. But
the reverse aviator, Julia. I like the reverse cowgirl.
You just said that out loud. Back to the news.
Back to the news. About 2 months ago, we learned that Sports Illustrated was going to be shutting its doors and in May stop publishing all magazines. Sports Illustrated for Kids, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Issue, and laying off tons and tons and tons of employees. Well, this is no longer happening. This is good news. Minute Media, the sports media company that owns the Players Tribune, landed a publishing rights to Sports Illustrated just 2 months after this massive layoff. So they have agreed, they've worked out a 10-year deal, and they can include it to another 10 years. So they have the rights for essentially 20 years to, and they are going to, said, quote, continue to print, Sports Illustrated Magazine, Sports Illustrated for Kids, and Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Issues alongside of the digital platform.
Wow.
So,
all right.
And they're going to be rehiring a lot of the people that
are
were
they?
Fired. Yes. Well, okay. This is what they said. They're going to rehire a lot of the people
who were going to need, you need to because you can't put out a magazine without
Yeah. So the Arena Group, who had originally owned it, laid off a whole bunch of people, but they are now, it's under the rights of Minute Media. And, you know, the financial of the terms were not disclosed, but like I said, it's going to be around for 10 full sure years and possibly another 20.
Well, I have to tell you, the magazine stand had lots of people yesterday at the Phoenix airport. There were a lot of flights that were in flux. You know, people like to come back later on Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, there's a place where the magazines still sell.
Oh, yeah.
At
I love looking at newsstands to see magazines.
Yeah, but I was glad to see, but I thought, oh, boy, they've really, there used to be so, so many.
I love looking at magazines.
Yeah, same. Yeah. And then I always give them to a flight attendant.
Yeah, I love
them. Or you used to be able to leave them like in the little seat before you and be nice enough.
Yeah,
but they clean everything.
They throw everything away. So I give it to a flight attendant because maybe they're going to be sitting in a jump seat just killing time for a second.
And you could always ask a flight attendant for a newspaper, because sometimes someone would always give them the newspaper and they kept them in the back up on the the good old days. Yes. And when I was at the airport too recently, I went just to go look at the magazine racks, and there was not a lot of what was there was taken, you know.
I remember those
the magazine is back.
I hope so.
I love a magazine.
I love a good magazine as well. Let's go with, you know, we'll keep, there's a little serious story here, and we'll maybe try, well, let's just do that right now. On Sunday night, a documentary called Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV aired.
Is this the Nickelodeon story?
This is about the disruptive, scary stories that happened on the set of Nickelodeon during the 90s and the early 2000s on shows like The Amanda Show with Amanda Bynes, Drake and Josh, all that. The first two episodes aired on Sunday night. There was a lot revealed within that. I'm not going to get too into depth, but they're talking, there was, you know, pedophiles were allowed to work on set.
Is it of one particular guy?
There's one gentleman in particular, but multiple. This gentleman's name is Dan Schneider, and his tenure there, and what he would kind of the uncomfortable situations he would put kids in, the rumors surrounding him. He has denied all allegations of any sexual abuse or pedophilia because he said that, why would I keep such long-standing relationships, quote, with these people if I felt that I harmed them in any way?
But there's like, it sounds like this guy, like,
evidence upon evidence upon evidence. But the second set of this four-part series is will be airing tonight on Discovery, and you can also check it out later on Max. So if you don't have Discovery, you can check it on the Max streaming networks. But it's a juicy one, and I mean, these are all shows that I grew up with.
Well, that's why I was going to say this is your
woods.
But we knew Amanda Bynes from Nickelodeon, and we even knew Austin Butler from Nickelodeon and the Sprouse Boys.
Yeah, and you got, you know, Drake Bell, who's had a lot of his own legal issues lately.
Yes.
He has spoken out about how
he was
treated on
by this Dan
Schneider.
Oh, yes.
And so, I don't want to get
I'm glad that they are doing that, because
exposing it,
every single time we hear, I just was listening to Brooke Shields again talking about, you know, she said, I know my mom thinks that she protected me from a lot of the stuff that is just not age appropriate for kids if you are in the acting or modeling world.
Mm-hmm.
She said, but just because even that your parents are there doesn't mean you can protect from the knowing of how much more grown up you're treated.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
She just said it's really
something. I agree. I did not watch it on Sunday, but I am definitely now knowing
you're
that it's on
watch
Max.
The show?
I have to because I was so in tune with
all these shows. Yeah.
But lastly, you'll love this, Lori. Justin Timberlake's new album, not doing too well on the charts. Did you see this?
It doesn't surprise me at all.
So everything I thought I was went sales on iTunes
is
and
not
Spotify.
What you think it was.
It's not what you think
what
it was.
What a terrible title, too.
Not one of the songs on the entire album was on the 200 most streamed songs on Spotify as of Friday, March 15th. And in comparison, 8 songs from the new Kacey Musgraves album were on there within their first day of release. So Justin Timberlake's not getting a lot of love for this album.
Did you guys play any new music Friday?
On that one, no.
No, I know, because Brittany doesn't like it
either. No, that one did not. No. But I just thought that we could point that out.
Yeah.
So. Well, you know, J-Lo, there is a certain thing, you know, with the...
Do people want this?
Yeah, you're right. And he brought out NSYNC to save his, like you said, Lori, he'd bring them out to save his career.
I have like the most amazing news to bring you guys today, because this is a historic day, March 18th, 2024. Why is it historic, Julia? Well, I will tell you. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have been advocating for this for probably 20 years. And what is that? What happened today? The O-pill, which is a birth control pill that you don't need a prescription for, that you can get online, and in a month it will be at CVS and Walgreens. And that's affordable.
Right. And awesome.
I know. I mean, women have, like, we've been under,
This is just so necessary, important, and overdue.
And O-pill has been around for 50 years, okay? Oh. And birth control pills came out in 1962. Mm-hmm. So know, like, when you're watching Palm Royale in 1968... that to even get a birth control prescription in 1968, you needed to have your husband call the doctor. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even get a credit card in the early 70s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 68. No, you can't do anything. You can't get a loan. You can't do anything. But birth control pills were only prescribed to married women. I mean,
wow. Isn't that something? That's great news.
So, and also because, like, I remember I got my birth control pills for free until I was like 27 and got a real job with insurance from Planned Parenthood.
So did I. That's where we all went.
That's where we went. But there's a lot of places in the country that don't have access to Planned Parenthood and all of that. So on Amazon, a 1 month supply is $19.99. And this O-pill is made with just one hormone, progestin, as compared to two that other pills have.
Right.
But people don't realize how safe, you know, for 98% of people, the pill is, and how effective it is. So it's historic from an advocacy and medical group. And like I said, the American College of OBGYNs have wanted this. They were like, this is what we need. Over the counter. Why get a prescription? You know,
This is great news.
So finally, anyway, so I wanted to bring that to you.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this is very interesting news, because online...
Because you're telling us it is.
Well, no, this was in the New York Times, Joya, is where I got this story.
Right.
Here's the headline. Online dating apps losing money and popularity. And when I think about when, like, Tinder, you know, came out... Was that like 2012?
Probably.
Something like that. So anyway, Match Group and Bumble make up almost the entire industry as far as like all the dating apps.
Yes. And they're owned by the same people.
Basically. Yep. And so they make up for market share. They have lost $40 billion in market value in the last 3 years, since 2021. Laying off people, lackluster revenue growth. Both Match Group and Bumble have brought in new CEOs. And the biggest obstacle for online dating apps is that millennials, which are now the nation's largest generation, they were prime dating age when Tinder first rolled out. But more and more of millennials are married or coupled up, they're no longer dating. And now the primary users of the apps are from Gen Z, a younger, smaller demographic with way less
income.
With disposable income. And that is the shift. Like 18, 19, 20 year olds, they're like, they just direct message on Instagram or Snapchat. Dating apps are like a game just for casual use, and you're not going to play for it.
They're expensive.
Well, and they consider it kind of skeevy when they can easily reach out and
directly
meet somebody.
So now it's lost its,
it's lost that thing.
Wow.
That luster. And Tinder is the biggest brand in the Match.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the most popular dating app in the U.S. And it changed everything because of the swiping, which now seems like just everybody has it. But one of the problems with dating apps, this is according to the New York Times, is that the format is the same as it has been for a decade. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't changed mm-hmm. or become more easier to use, mm-hmm. you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's, if they're going to try and get younger people to pay, they have to adjust how this thing
What's
works.
What's the value proposition?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
well, the basic membership, like for OkCupid and those kind of things, it ranges from about $17.50 a month to about $35, mm-hmm. unless you're doing the premium where you can look at people and they can't look at you. Mm-hmm. But when you think of it, Lori, and this is the thing that I think would be hard about reaching out on TikTok and Instagram. I like my boys don't use those things.
Yeah.
So I think
we're talking.
But
I guess they would be in
that
same
generation.
Age. Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know
that's
a lot true. Of. I see it more. I mean, it might be you might have a smaller pool. I just don't know. And that's right. how I feel about like the Golden Bachelorette. Like, you know. Women are so willing. We're so willing to put ourselves out there compared
right,
to men.
Right.
And so I just wonder if you're going to still get the return. And that's why, you know, the other thing that I showed you today kind of on this is like.
Well, 50% of people younger than 30 use dating apps.
So it's still 50%. But I think.
But
that's a huge loss.
Paying for it makes it seem skeezy. This is from a Boston University professor who studies dating apps.
Isn't that interesting now? That
yeah.
It would, and I'm thinking about it, like, in Grant, I'm watching your face kind of twerk over there. Kind of.
I feel like it's a reverse effect because we just talked about how, like, paying for it would give you the idea of.
This is true. Younger people.
It's younger
this
people.
This is how younger yeah. people that don't yeah. have the disposable income because yeah. they're like, I can reach out on Snapchat or TikTok or
and
Instagram.
Just DM. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, right.
That, there's so many more ways to communicate people with people now right. than there used to be.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to the 18 to 30 year old. She's, you're beautiful. Just
go
walk
to the
in
bar.
A bar.
Just, right. go. Just go out.
Just go out.
Life. Join a team. Go
just
do
go
something.
Out. Well,
get
he,
in on.
Here's
that's a huge amount of money. Though, Lori.
Yeah, it's a huge
it's because the lady who started Bumble sold it.
Yeah.
And everything ended up with whoever owns Tinder and Match because it's all the same people own all this and that they haven't changed.
Two companies
right,
own
they
everything.
Haven't changed the proposition because remember last year your friends could nominate people for
yes.
you and they tried that.
They tried
and
that.
And then they did the background checking thing.
Right.
They tried that.
Right.
But again, you know,
yeah.
So I get what people
slipping
are saying.
Slipping in DMs is a lot cheaper than slipping in your
and
bank account.
And the other place that singles are meeting?
Pickleball courts.
LinkedIn.
That's right.
LinkedIn.
Because you can just directly, you know what the person does. You know what their job is. They can see yeah. all your information. Just send them a note.
Yeah, yeah, about me. But apparently it's the most popular new way for singles to meet is LinkedIn.
Wow. Yep.
And it's even gotten so the younger people we talked about, the speed dating is
yeah.
back in.
Yeah.
Oh,
we just so you could
time.
Meet somebody and see him in person and you yeah. don't have to waste all this time yeah. with the emails.
On Friday, we had Khadijah in and she
yes.
was going to go do that, in fact. I think this last weekend or she has something set up
yes.
where she's going because
mm-hmm.
she's recently single and
uh-huh.
this their speed dating thing is coming
it's back
into play.
Because you're right. You want to see a picture. You
yeah.
want to see a face. You don't want to give it that much time and energy. Just go.
Move on.
Right. And it doesn't yep. have the negative thing like it used to. It's kind of funny what's old is new
yeah,
again, Lori. Because this
so
used to
true.
Be so big. And I, oh God, I'm watching Love on the Spectrum. I love that show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of speed dating things going on there.
And I
hadn't realized how speed dating is back so much.
Well, and good news, blind dates are still a thing. And social events, people are still meeting people. But popular dating sites
I get
are
this.
Still, you know, they still do. People are doing that. And it probably is age.
I think it is.
Specific.
Yeah.
And then bars and clubs are still right up there at 40%
yeah.
is a good way of
mm-hmm.
meeting people. And commuting and traveling, sadly, has fallen to 26%. But it's holding, you know, that's a quarter chance.
Mm-hmm. I think this is interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting because that's a gob of money.
It's so much money.
$40 billion.
Yeah.
Was that really the number 40?
$40 billion in market value since 2021.
In the dating app industry. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, they just,
and
the
you
only
had COVID,
thing
you had COVID, which slowed it down because people couldn't meet people.
And then the only way they could keep revenue steady, kind of like the streamers, raised their prices.
Yeah.
And then they lost people.
Wow. All right. So, well, that's interesting.
Kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. Well, that's all the time we
have.
That's
all the time we have. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. All right. So tonight, if you want to, we talked about it earlier, but the 1 hour Oprah Winfrey specials on ABC at 7 o'clock, Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. She's going to have a round table, doctors in a panel. On Watch What Happens Live tonight, Jenny McCarthy is going to be on. We haven't seen her in a while.
I like that.
Along with a below deck guy, Ben Willoughby.
Yeah.
He's kind of young and kind of good looking.
Yeah, I might recognize him. I did watch a little Below Deck on the airplane.
Yeah.
I don't know why I like watching that show on the plane.
Because the drama and the sex is fantastic.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't really see it. You get involved in it, but you don't see it. It's the right amount of everything.
The right amount of everything. And then on Jimmy Kimmel, Christina Applegate is going to be with him and Huey Lewis.
Oh, gosh. And we just fell in love with him after watching that. The greatest night in pop.
Yeah.
That documentary.
And, you know, I think he had a cochlear implant like Daisy had, didn't he? He went deaf.
In one ear and then the other, I think, in both. Eventually.
So I wonder if there's, because he's going to perform.
Yeah. I don't think he had, it's not the same thing
but
as
he was
Daisy.
Deaf and he said he wasn't performing anymore. So we'll find out that. And he's so delightfully charming. So Daisy is on. So The Bachelor tonight is the women tell all. But do you think they're going to
We're getting a rose ceremony.
At the beginning,
because it ended on a cliffhanger. Okay. It would have to, because next week is, unless they're going to just
hang him,
let us hang a whole nother week and not know, and they wait for the rose ceremony until after the women tells all. I just thought we'd get like 5 minutes and then it'll go to women tell all and then we'll get a teaser for next week.
I hope it goes your way.
Next week we'll get, they're in Tulum.
Oh. Yes, they are. We recognize the places.
Yeah. And then supposedly the most shocking thing we've ever seen in Bachelor Nation history, which is an empty promise.
Because we've seen.
Yeah, we've seen.
We've seen so much.
Yeah.
We have seen so much.
But I might be wrong about Daisy. I was very, very convinced that she was going to be the one.
I don't think she is. I don't. What do you, Grant?
Did you read the spoilers?
I'm not reading any.
No, I did not read any spoilers.
Okay. What's your thinking?
There's a little bit spark. Is it, what's the other girl's name?
Kelsey. There's a spark there.
There's a spark there that, because I watched this with my cousins when we were in Florida.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I love how you're grudgingly admitting that.
Yeah, we watched, my little cousins were like, we got to watch it. So we watched it together. And I was like, there's something about Kelsey. There's a little bit of a sparkle there that I'm not seeing with Daisy, unfortunately.
But I think so. I think you're right.
So maybe it's going to be Kelsey and Daisy.
Daisy that are left and Rachel goes home.
Remember when he announced Rachel and everybody went nuts?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, God. There's videos, TikToks of bars. People were doing watch parties and people, when he announced Rachel's name, everybody.
Why though? Why?
I don't know.
I think she's delightful. Yeah. Who knows? Okay. But you think it's going to be Rachel that goes home?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Only because they've set it up so much to seem like they're crazy about each other, they're bound to.
Right. But I feel like they've set it up so much like they're crazy about Daisy, too.
Yeah. Well,
she'd be perfect. She would fit in. I could just see myself being with her.
And then Kelsey.
I think it's going to be Kelsey.
Yeah.
There.
That's where I'm at.
All right. So we'll find out tonight.
No, we won't find out tonight. The women are telling us.
Well, we're going to find out who are the last two, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe not. Maybe they're just going to keep us hanging by a wire. By the telephone wire.
Well, breaking news. The ruby red slippers that were stolen from Grand Rapids nearly 20 years ago have returned home today.
They returned home finally.
Since 2005.
To that same museum that no security?
The Judy Garland Museum. I think they've upped their security game. And Special Agent Christopher Dudley stated, it was incredibly rewarding and fitting to see Mr. Shaw reunited with the ruby slippers at Judy Garland's home. It's one of the four remaining pairs out there, widely viewed amongst the most recognizable memorabilia, of course, except for what jersey, Grant?
I would say probably Tom Brady's jersey card, I would say. It would be the
We're talking movie.
I know. I was thinking his baseball player. During the ceremony, the Special Agent Dudley surprised Shaw, who owned the slippers originally, not only by returning the ruby slippers, by also presenting him with a single red sequin.
Sequin?
Oh, just a little piece from the shoe?
Left at the scene of the crime 20 years ago.
That's actually a funny exchange. Oh, God.
I know. And then they're going to go out on tour. But anyway, they're back, and they said there was another man from Crystal, Minnesota who was involved. They've got a second person involved. So that case...
It's going to be a podcast.
Oh, you know.
Or some kind of a show. Because yeah. it's point. Such... It could it's be a Coen Brothers movie.
It could be, Lori. It really could be. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It really, really could be.
I like that idea.
I know it. And what else do we know, people? You know, our appetizer thing is on Wednesday. Ooh, the appetizer.
I don't even know what are people talking about.
Yeah, well, it's this? In your email.
Okay, but I mean, is this some us? Station so, thing? I mean, if I have this. To hear Steve talk about appetizers one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well,
it's
I think
too
there's
much
prizes.
Appetizer talk.
I think a friend of mine, I know a friend of mine was in one of these at her company, and she won, like, really good prizes. Mm.
Oh, it's a company-wide initiative.
I think it is, Lori.
Yeah, I think we're. I think we're supposed.
It's a real thing. It's not like
real thing.
It's not
Lori.
Something that Steve has made up.
No. In his head. Oh gosh, you're so funny. Ooh, this has been going on for years here.
Yeah. Oh, it has.
Yeah.
Here at our company.
Yes.
And people participate.
It's this very little place called Hollywood.
There's
Radio.
Something for everybody. There's something for everybody.
You're so bad. Oh. You're so bad. Oh. That's so funny.
I thought that was like something Steve was trying to make happen.
No.
Okay. Like he wanted us to have it. I thought,
and I'm sure there's a market for it.
Yes.
There you go.
That's funny, Lori. No, this is a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. We might have to have a meeting tomorrow. Are we bringing anything? Or I mean,
I have a story there that I'm not ready to share yet.
Yeah, I'm absolutely not bringing anything.
Well, why would you?
Yeah, I mean, I could bring chips if somebody needs something to be dipped.
Please,
you bring
some
the
for
chips,
me.
I'll bring the dip.
No, I have
to
a
me,
story
that's
for
always
tomorrow.
The appetizer that wins.
I have a story for tomorrow. Well, how would you know? You've never been.
Well, I haven't, but I love a dip. I love when I go someplace and they have appetizers. I love
to me,
the dip.
That's the one that takes home the gold every year. Tomorrow we'll recite the last three winners of the last dip. 3 years.
That's right.
I just thought Steve made this up. You're so funny.
No, I honestly did not have any idea.
No, I know you didn't.
I feel like
that's even better.
I'm like, we're in a who's on first conversation.
Yes, we are.
All right, everyone, have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.
Wow.